This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 204, the highest scoring vocabulary to move you to an 8.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Find out why our strategies are the most powerful in the IELTS world and get your free video masterclass at allearsenglish.com/INSIDER. Now, let's get to the show. Today, you'll get specific vocabulary and exciting idioms for speaking questions about walking and cycling. Hey, Jessica. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing pretty well. Thinking about hopping on my bike today, Jessica, because it's that cold out, and that's a rare event in January in Boston.
Wait, I thought you guys just had tons of snow. Was that not Boston?
Yeah, that was like last weekend, and that wasn't really Boston. That was more D.C. and New York that got a lot of snow. Yeah.
Like in my mind, the whole East Coast is just like one place. Like anything that happens over there is just like all over. That doesn't really make sense. But so even though there's been snow, you could still cycle?
I could totally cycle today. Yeah. I mean, I could have cycled yesterday. I mean, these days it's not that cold. Like it's 45 degrees out. You know, you can cycle when it's 45 degrees out. It's not too bad.
45 is fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. So. Yeah. I was going to bike today too. It's gorgeous here. It's like sunny. I think it's in the 50s.
Nice. Like,
yeah. Very nice. I got to get outside.
Do you bike all through the winter?
No. Oh my gosh. Not anymore. I used to because we didn't have a car for so long. But now that I have my cute little Volkswagen bug, and plus I'm in a new neighborhood, so I could seriously walk everywhere. I almost never have to bike anymore even because I just walk everywhere now. It's really nice.
That's awesome. That's so cool. That's so cool. Well, Jessica, does biking and walking, do those topics come up on the speaking test or on the writing test anywhere?
For sure. So this idea of general movement, right? Like getting from one place to another, it could come in the form of public transportation, private cars, or walking. I mean, there's been very specific questions on the speaking test about walking and about cycling, but also you could stretch it out to this other general topic of health, fitness, right? Yeah. And that topic could come up on the listening test, the reading test, speaking part three, writing task two. So today we're going to focus on like really specific vocabulary about walking and cycling. But guys, this is not just for the speaking test, right? Like these ideas could come up anywhere.
Yeah. And it's good to have this, you know, interesting vocabulary, right? Going back to the scoring system we talk about, that is a sure way to push up our score, having interesting and unique vocabulary. So that's what we're going to give you guys today. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. We came up with some super fun stuff. Lindsay and I had a lot of fun coming up with this vocabulary, guys.
I know. We got a little carried away. It was fun.
I know. We had to stop ourselves. We had to cut ourselves off. Okay. So I want to explain the first one because it's so super fun.
Yeah.
The first word, it's a really descriptive, it's to describe how we walk. Okay. So this is swagger. So when I think of swagger, I think of a man or a woman who walks with a lot of confidence and sort of like maybe sways their hips from side to side. Like if you watch, like if you watch a person walk and we say they have swagger. So it could be a noun.
Yeah.
Or. Yeah. You could say as a verb, they swagger. It means that you could see their confident personality in the way they walk. And I know listeners, you can picture this in your head. You know, you could picture someone you know who swaggers or who has swagger. Just, you could look at them right away. Like they are super confident and they think they're super cool. Maybe it's good or bad, but they definitely have like a unique way of walking.
Wow. It's interesting how everyone has their own kind of walk. I find that really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Their own gait. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Their gait, right? How they walk. That's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I was telling you, Lindsay, I was telling you just before we recorded today that I'm seeing a personal trainer at my gym because I could tell my gait, right, from having my knee surgery and coming back from that, I'm worried that my gait might be thrown off because the muscles are imbalanced. So the gait, that could come up on the speaking or writing test too as a vocab word for sure.
Exactly. I like that. So can you throw out an example, Jessica, of a typical question? Like what would be a typical question that the actual question that we might hear on the test?
Yeah.
I mean, we know that the topic is around cycling and walking, but it's good to put it into context here. Yeah.
Right. Of course. So some different walking questions you might be asked would be, do you enjoy walking around your city? Do you think your city is a good place to walk around? Where should tourists walk to? Do you walk every day, or do you walk for exercise or because you have to? How could your city be better for walking? Lots of different questions, very focused on that. And cycling, it's going to be similar. Do people bicycle commute in your city, or what could make your city streets safer for cycling? Do you think it's better to cycle or walk? Should people listen to stuff on their headphones when they're cycling?
Lots of questions. It reminds me of the episode we did a few days ago, Jessica, about not anticipating the question, right? Making sure that we know the variety of questions that there could be around any one topic and making sure we listen well to the examiner. Because you just spit off like 10 questions for these two topics and it's just, there's a huge variety. I mean,
And these questions sound so, like these topics sound so specific that a student would think there's only like two possible questions related to that. Like that's easy. But I think sometimes it's even harder with such specific questions because the questions get really weird with these specific topics. And it's stuff that students aren't used to talking about, right? And especially like this is quite cultural, you know? I mean, you and I, it's easy for us to talk about walking and cycling. We live in cities where this is easy. You know, and you and I are very active. We grew up like this. We're used to getting around like this for sure. So it's part of our lives naturally. But for a lot of people, it's not.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. No, I mean, exactly. We both live in cities where it's common to get around. But I mean, most of the U.S., it's not natural to get around on foot or by bike. Not at all. Yeah.
Right. So imagine living in like L.A. and trying to do that. Like that's impossible. There's no way.
That's right.
That's why I would never live. Well, one of the reasons why I would never live there, but
I couldn't live in L.A. either. I hate L.A. Don't get me started on L.A.
I know. All right. So that's swagger. Pretty sure lots of people in LA have swagger, but anyway. Yeah. All right. So Lindsay, do you want to do the next word?
I think my website just crashed here, but that's fine. I think I can remember what it was. To go one level deeper than this podcast, get into our free 3-video masterclass. It's the best way to get started with our strategies, and you can start for free now. Go to allearsenglish.com/insider. See you there. Okay, we said meander was the next one. Yeah, I like that one, right? So this idea really, when I think of meander, I think of not going in a straight, direct line, right? It's kind of more indirect, and we kind of wind around. What do you think about, Jessica?
Exactly. This is like to meander is to walk slowly with no specific goal in mind or no specific time you have to be somewhere. So definitely just walking slowly. Like that's the most basic definition. But I think, to put it into context would be like on the weekends, I love to meander down to my favorite restaurant because it's, you know, I love to watch all the people outside on the weekends and take a look in the shop windows and really just take my time and enjoy the walk itself. It's not about, here's a good one. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Oh, so deep. We're getting so deep on this show.
But that's true though, right? Like we could take that into the test in a lot of different ways.
I agree.
Not only like our preparation, it's not about getting the best IELTS score. It's about improving your English and yourself as a person. So it's not about this one specific goal. It's not about me being at the restaurant. It's about me getting there. It's about me enjoying every moment of what I'm doing. Really?
Exactly. Exactly. It's such a good way to live, right? I mean, that's a bigger message, but it is. I mean, it can't be all about the goal. And actually, speaking of meander, that reminds me of another word that we put down for today, Jessica, the word wander. I think those are pretty similar, right? No ultimate destination, just kind of, going here, going there, right? If we've talked about wanderlust in the past.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So I think the difference between meander and wander, they're both walking slowly, but meander, the difference is you do have a destination. You're just taking your time getting there. I feel like this is how we use them, right? And to wander.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like wander, you don't have a specific destination at all. You don't have a time plan nor an itinerary that you have to follow. So when you wander, you're really just in it for the exploration. You really just want to look at everything you can and get lost, basically.
Exactly. And we can use this on the larger scale. Like sometimes we say, I wandered around Europe for a few years in my 20s, right? It's not just about in your immediate neighborhood. It could be about a lifestyle choice, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. I didn't think about that before you said that, but that's true. Mm-hmm. It's not just about walking specifically. It's your whole way of movement. I think it's good that we umbrella all of these as movement, not just walking or cycling.
That's right.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think you and I wandered around the world for most of our 20s.
Did a lot of wandering. And it's good. It's good for the heart to wander, I think.
Sure.
I mean, we've talked about that before. You don't want to have any regrets later.
Exactly. And then you really appreciate having a home after that. Like having a base is really nice after that.
Yeah. Because you grow into it. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm going to bring this into a more formal ways, a word that you could use in speaking part three or writing task two, amble.
Okay.
Amble is a direct synonym for walk. The adjective would be ambulatory, which means you are able to walk, right? Like able to walk around. So this is a definite high level word, but you could use it just directly in the place of walk if you're speaking or writing about this topic. So
ooh, I
amble.
Like this one.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, this is not a word that I use on a daily basis. So this is a good one. This is super high level.
Yeah,
I like
totally.
It. Very articulate.
So definitely only for speaking part three and writing task two, right? Because it's formal.
Yeah.
I want to get back to the informal stuff because this is way better to use all over the test. Guys, remember, you can use informal idioms on the speaking and writing test because they qualify as interesting language, and that's what you need for a 7 or higher, not just formal words. So
and don't let anyone tell you differently, right, Jessica?
Right.
I mean, we've talked about the danger. And, you know, when we work with the wrong person, they might tell us that we need to be formal throughout the whole test, and that's just not true.
They are lowering your score. Okay. So this idiom is super awesome. I use it all the time. Lindsay uses it all the time. It's a very native speaker, very current way to speak. It would definitely impress the examiner, you guys. So if you are in a rush, this could be driving, this could be walking, this could be cycling. If you are in a hurry, in a rush, and by the way, this is a topic on the speaking test, being in a rush. Okay. So we could use the idiom to book it, to book it. So for example, I could be like, This morning I had to get James to school and we were running out of time because a friend was staying over and she just was talking a lot and I had to come home and record and I found myself, I was running out of time and I really had to book it to James daycare. I just had to drive as fast as I could. I was booking it super fast.
Book it. I like that. I mean, I've used this expression since I was a kid. Like I remember using this as a kid.
It's
one of those natural native expressions that just makes you smile. It's just like, it's so common.
Yeah. I use it a lot. Yeah. And I promise you guys, you're not going to see this in a textbook like ever.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Ever.
But this is how we talk. I mean,
that's right.
Use this on the exam anytime you're talking about hurrying. It'd be perfect.
Yeah. And you'll make the examiner smile.
Totally would. All right. Now we do have a couple phrases that are very bicycle specific.
Right. Yes. Yes. Broke a spoke. Now, Jessica, this is an expression of yours because I'm not enough of a cyclist to really like use this, but.
So I have a racing bike that I broke a spoke on a couple weeks ago. And so a spoke is those metal tubes that are mm-hmm. on this bicycle wheel. So if you picture mm-hmm. a bicycle wheel in your head, all of those yeah. metal things holding it together that are crisscrossing, right? Mm-hmm. Those are spokes. So yeah. sometimes one of them pops out or sometimes one of them bends. Yeah. So if it pops out, you say you broke a spoke and that's, you know, you could still ride, but your wheel is going to buckle and it's going to be bad eventually. So you have to fix it. But that's, you know, if you're talking about riding a bicycle and having a problem, that could be a speaking part two topic. You know, like, were you commuting and did you have a problem commuting or a problem getting somewhere on a bicycle one day? Like that could be a speaking part two. So sure. the two yeah. main problems are going to be one, you broke a spoke. That doesn't happen mm-hmm. that often, but it does. It's happened to me. Or mm-hmm. more commonly, you got a flat tire. So this happens
to me all the time. I kept getting flat tires all summer. It drove me crazy.
I hate it.
Taking it in like every month. And I don't know, it's like a string of bad luck or something. But yeah, common problem.
You do go through phases though, for sure. Like I'll be totally fine with my bicycles for months. And then all of a sudden, in like a 1 month time period, I'm breaking spokes, I'm popping tires, there's another idiom. If you have a lot of problems, you guys, that tend to happen all at the same time, you could say, well, when it rains, it pours.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that one. When it rains, it pours. And actually, that can work for good situations too, not just problems. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's totally
like a restaurant,
true.
Right? No one comes into a restaurant for like a week and then all of a sudden on a random Tuesday, you get a ton of customers. When it rains, it pours, right?
That's true. Yeah. I do use this a lot when I'm talking about work because I'll have a couple days where I feel like, oh my God, like I really don't have that much to do right now. This is weird. But then all of a sudden I'll get like a book, you know, assignment from this person and then another course thing. And then, and I'm like, right. I don't have enough time for all this. Like when it rains, it pours, good and bad.
Exactly.
And so last idiom we're going to talk about today, guys, it's related to bicycles. So when little kids get bicycles, they usually have training wheels on them. And training wheels are the two little wheels attached to the back wheel to help it balance. So in theory, it's not supposed to fall over. But in my experience, training wheels are horrendous. And you shouldn't use them because they're just more imbalanced. They're terrible. James never had them. But anyway. Okay. So those are training wheels, but we use it as an idiom, well, a metaphor and an idiom, right? To talk about having a crutch, having something you depend on that maybe you don't need anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, for language learners, carrying around like a Chinese English translator.
Right.
You know, a lot of people use that as a crutch. So instead of relying on their own minds to figure out how to say something, they automatically go to this little machine, type it in, and have the machine do it for them. Those are training wheels. That's a crutch. You don't need that.
Yeah, it's like a security blanket, right? And oftentimes it's a mental thing. We have to make the shift in our minds to move over. And then once we start to get some confidence in our own abilities to figure out the meaning of the word, we can really get rid of it. But until then, the crutch is very psychological. You know, I use the word crutch more than training wheels. But the two are both good expressions. Yeah,
that's really funny because they mean the same thing. And they're both connected to our topic today. Training wheels with the bicycle and crutch with walking, right? These things you depend on. Until you could do it yourself. Same, right? Like general meaning, and therefore the idiom or the metaphorical way we use them also exactly the same. But Lindsay's right. Crutch is way more common than using training wheels, but still, they're interchangeable.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. I love it. So this is a great topic, guys. So again, don't be afraid to be kind of fun with your vocabulary. I mean, that is the way you increase your vocabulary score on speaking and writing. You know, be smart about it. Be strategic about it.
Yeah. Exactly. And guys, I promise you these phrases, these idioms, these very specific words, this is how you get a 7 or higher for vocab. And again, guys, if you impress the examiner in one aspect, like your vocabulary, you're that much more likely to raise your scores in the other aspects as well. They're all intertwined. They're all, you know, everything you're graded on is connected. So just working on this one skill, that will help you in all the other things as well.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And in our course, guys, we do give you a lot of very specific vocabulary, especially in our bonuses. We give you a couple of great bonuses where you can just literally plug in those vocabulary words. So you don't need to go off and decide which words would be good. You just take the ones that we give you and immediately increase your score. So to get into our course, guys, go to IELTS.allearsenglish.com and click on the link in the menu bar that says IELTS course, and you can get in there, and we hope to see you guys there.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Please do, guys. The vocab in the course is awesome. It's practice. There's worksheets, PDFs. You can definitely learn and use this. And there's a lot of students in our course now that are forming Skype groups and chat groups with each other from our closed Facebook group. So they're practicing this vocab related to the test in their own time. I love the work they're putting in. It's so awesome.
That's so cool. Yeah, it was really cool. One person posted a message and said she wanted to organize that. And there were like seven people that quickly wrote and said they were interested. I was really impressed.
And I mean, they're all over the world. I mean, it's so fun. Yeah.
They're like a tight group now.
So cool. I love that's it. Really love it. And those are the students. That's the habit of a successful student. You know, showing you what you can do to raise your scores. That initiative is admirable. Yes. I love it. Love our students.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Very cool. All right, Jessica. Well, let's take a break for the weekend and I will see you back here next week. So have a good weekend. Enjoy yourself.
Thanks. You too. Bye, Lindsay.
All right. Take care. Bye. Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.